If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
What did the framers of the Constitution have in mind when they wrote that particular article? You don't know because you don't know them. But theoretically, it's not freedom of speech as much as it is freedom of expression. If it were singularly freedom of speech, then you would be free to slander. It's not freedom of speech as much as it is expression. And expression carries a whole bunch of stuff with it. That means you're able to march, demonstrate, to fight against injustice. Now, if you go on a diligent study to investigate the lifestyle, motives, background, history of those who wrote the Constitution, then you begin to get an understanding of who they are, and then you can have an understanding of what they wrote. You can't understand what a person wrote without an understanding of the person. You can have an idea, and then you formulate your idea based on your socialization. For example, the scriptures in the Word of God that have to do with physical healing and the laying on of hands is more readily accepted by those who lack the financial ability to have health insurance because they're forced to believe. But the more fluent Christian doesn't view the Bible the same way as we Pentecostals do. They don't need to. They don't embrace, "My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory," the same way we do, because they don't have as many needs as we have. And so the art of preaching really, really is designed to take the text and tell you how to apply the truth to your life. It is not to speak on behalf of God in the sense of saying, "This is what the Lord meant." You don't know. We study and think we know, but we really don't. Why did God demand a tithe? And why did he demand it after Abraham willingly gave it? What was his intent, his purpose? Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, one of his tasks is to lead you into truth, not explanation, not the accumulation of facts. All facts are not truth. Paul said to the Corinthians, when I reached you, I was determined to avoid the theological trappings that apparently given license to your arrogance, your pride, and your selfishness. Apparently, you have already had some good theological teaching. Apparently, you've had some people inform you of gifts and things of that nature because you're moving in them without love, which means you don't know God. Is God gifted? See, your concept of God is such that it's causing you to react in a way that's not godly. What is God? So Paul says, everything you do must revolve around who God is. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak prophetically and don't have love, I make a lot of noise. Though I cast out devils and not walk in, quote unquote, God, I'm not doing anything substantial. So when Paul brings them to the 13th chapter, he says, everything else that you've learned in your Bible study, in your cell groups, everything else is wasted unless you know God. And Jesus said, the fundamental purpose of the Holy Spirit is to help you know God. He's not here to enhance your gift. He's not here to personify your actions. He's here to help you know God. Because apparently, according to Paul's writings, you can move in gifts without God. You can move in gifts without love. You can prophesy and still be arrogant. You can speak in tongues and still be nasty. You can preach and still live a lascivious life. But once you know God, this is what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. So Paul says something here that's important. He says, I determined not to know anything among you except for Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one. That's what I came to do. I came to help you see who Jesus truly is. And that, beloved, becomes the fundamental purpose of everyone standing behind a pulpit all over the world. Our task is not to get you to be impressed by our theology, to love our communicative skills, and to become, you know, enamored by our hermeneutics and homiletics. No, it is for us to reveal Christ. Every time you hear me preach to you, you ought to walk away with a better look at Jesus. You ought to walk out of here saying, I know a little bit more about Jesus. And he says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear. When I arrived, I had some weakness and fear and trembling. In other words, I was full of anxiety, not because I lacked boldness, not because I was afraid technically, but I didn't know how you would respond. You were gifted people. You were people that were subjected to some form of the gospel, some form of the theology of God. But I was a little nervous about it. I was a little anxious as to how you would receive what I was about to bring you. He says, and my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Notice, my speech and my preaching were not designed to make you rejoice. Woo! Didn't the man of God preach today? No, this is the proper response after service. How was service? The Lord moved. The power of God was in our midst. Not the preacher preached. The preacher's preaching is not what's bringing you in. When I was a teenager, and I saw the young lady who later became my wife. And when I saw her, first thing I did was inquire. No, first thing I did was say I was going to marry her. The second thing I did was inquire as to who she was. Now, I asked a gentleman that was standing with me, a young man, I said, you know who that is? And he said to me, no, I don't, but she does. And so I went over to her, and I said, who is that? And she said, oh, that's Sheila, and she lives in my neighborhood. I said, introduce me. Now, I loved her for introducing me to her. But once she introduced me, I ain't need her anymore. I no longer even paid her any attention. Well, why are you so enamored with the preacher when all they do is take you to Jesus? When you leave here, you ought not be connected to me. You ought to be connected to the one I introduce you to. Come on, preacher. You don't need to fall out when you order go, my pastor. Stop that foolishness. You ought to say, that's the one that's introduced me to Jesus. Now, when I see her today, when I still see her, I still feel a degree of thanks. I appreciate what she did. But she served her task. I ain't over there, oh, praise the Lord. Let me buy you a chicken dinner. Let me make you a pie. No, I ain't gonna make her no pie. She was a blooming messenger. She was not the object. She was a subject to get me to my object. The Holy Spirit uses people to bring you to Jesus. He does not intend on you to get connected to those people so that you can't see Jesus. Paul said, when I came there, I didn't want you to have any other distractions. And I was concerned. So when I arrived, I made this declaration that my speech and my preaching would not be with enticing words like Apollo. Apollo's preaching was he was an eloquent preacher. He was a Jew raised in Alexandria, Egypt. And apparently he was a disciple of Priscilla and Aquila. And he was an individual who was articulate. He was a person who could stir you up. I used to always say that he was the first century Jesse Jackson. When Apollos was through with you, you were ready to run for president. But Paul said he was so eloquent that he had some disciples. He had people who said, I'm of Apollos. Paul said, you're carnal. Who is Apollos? Just a servant to bring you to Jesus. So he realized the principal problem here was that the people were not being brought to Jesus. They were being discipled by personalities, which led me to believe that the church at Corinth was a church that embraced the things of God rather than the God of the things. Because if you are truly embracing God, you are not wrapped up in personalities, because personalities can fail. People can fall. And if you lose your walk with God because your preacher has gone crazy and started living contrary to the word of God, then I submit to you that your faith was in your preacher and not in Jesus. Because if your faith is in Jesus, it don't matter if your preacher fall. You just pray for them, but nothing shall separate me from the love of God. I'm going to walk with God. If everybody else leaves, I'm staying.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
05216A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Preaching with specific purpose.
Break up your fallow ground, because the Lord is about to come and sow righteousness.
On July 16th, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., presiding bishop of the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches, presents the 2016 Preaching Workshop. Workshop presenters will be Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., Dr. Wesley Pinnock, also Pastor Clement M. Lumpton III. Saturday, July 16th, 2016. The morning sessions will be from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. The afternoon session, 1:30 p.m. until 4 p.m. Topics will be preaching for evangelism, preaching for training, and preaching for sanctification. Registration includes materials and lunch. Call 215-885-2585, extension 314. 215-885-2585, extension 314. Register online at betheldeliverance.org. Plan now to be a part of the Preaching with Specific Purpose Workshop at the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches on Saturday, July the 16th, 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincode, PA.